Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 14. We are in our series, Seeing Jesus, asking the Lord to change us as we see Him, as we look at every single book of the Bible, one message per book. Last time we were in Proverbs chapter 1, and we're in the wisdom portion of the Bible, and so we were in Proverbs chapter 1, and we saw Jesus Christ as our wisdom. And we're kind of continuing on in that same vein this morning from the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're going to see Jesus Christ as the man of wisdom. The man of wisdom. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 14, Solomon writes this: "There was a little city and few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good." Let's start with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing now upon this message, upon your word. Lord, may your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. May we listen this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There are some words that are very frustrating for a parent to hear. And I think the most frustrating word is when you hear the word no. Right? When you tell them something to do and they come back with no. I mean, that's frustrating. But I think second place, the runner-up to that, is the word what. And boy, do we hear this one a lot. You know, but it's amazing because you know they hear, right? Because, I mean, you can pull a piece of gum out of a pack and they can be on the opposite side of the house and they will hear that piece of gum and they'll go, "Can I have gum?" Right? I mean, they hear that. Or you can mouth the words movie night to your spouse and they can be across the room and they will hear it. You didn't even make a sound. And they picked up on that word movie. They knew that right away. But then, I mean, you can look them in the face and you can say bedtime or do this chore and they'll go, "What?" Like they didn't hear. And listening is it's a talent that has to be learned. It has to be practiced to keep up with it, right? And to know how to learn. And we hope by the time they reach adults that they've learned how to just listen and retain that. Solomon tells this story as he begins in verse 14 about, he's making a point about listening to wisdom. And so he tells this story about a city, a small city with just a few people in it. And some Bible scholars have tried to pair this with a literal event. It's pretty hard to do that as there's not a lot of detail that's given about it. But even if it is an actual event, we don't need to know the names because God didn't give us the names about any of the people or the city. But he starts off and he says there's this small city and it's just got a few men in it, right? It doesn't have this large army. And it doesn't seem to be important enough to be defended even by other cities around it. Because here comes this great king and he besieges it, right? So he comes and he's probably on his way to conquer a larger region. It doesn't seem to me, as I think about it logically, that this great king would bother with this small city on its own. Like he would travel all the way to just this small city. He's probably it was just in his path of conquest. As he's conquering a land, there's this little city and he goes, "Okay, you're next in line." And so he comes and he besieges it. He surrounds this city and he's there to just wait him out, right? He's going to starve out this city. It says he built great bulwarks against it. Right? And the idea is that he built like defenses for his soldiers. He wasn't planning on attacking the city. He was going to wait to starve them out. And then if they tried to attack him, he had built defenses for his soldiers. So he was prepared if they were to attack it. And it looks, as we view this situation in verse 14, it looks like there's no hope for this city. I mean, what chance does this little city with few men in it have against this king and his great army? You look at that and go, there is no hope. But then, in verse 15, there's a poor wise man in this city. And by his wisdom, he's able to deliver this city. Now, it doesn't say exactly how, and we could maybe guess that maybe he formulated some plan, right? He maybe he saw some weakness in that army that they could exploit, some strategy. Maybe it was he had came up with a great compromise, right? Or some treaty they could make with this king and somehow deliver the city. Whatever it is, he came up with a plan. And I would guess, right, because of he was just a poor wise man, that maybe he took it to, like, he didn't have direct access to the king of this city. So maybe he took it to someone who heard it and said, hey, you know, he's got a good idea. That's a smart plan. And they took it to their boss. And that boss took it to their boss, and it worked its way up the chain till finally it came to the leader of this city. And he said, hey, that, you know, that sounds like a great plan. So they put it into action, and the city is delivered. And the city rejoices, I'm sure, at this deliverance. But then we get to the end of verse 15, and Solomon says, yet no man remembered that same poor man. They didn't remember. In all their partying, and all their rejoicing and celebration because their city was delivered, nobody remembered this man. And I'm sure there were a lot of people who patted themselves on the back and patted other people on the back, but nobody patted this poor wise man on the back and said, good job. Nobody remembered that it was his plan that saved that city. Someone got credit for it, I'm sure, but it wasn't him. It wasn't the man who came up with this. It wasn't this wise man. And I believe this wise man is a picture of Jesus Christ, and I believe the city where this wise man dwells is a picture of the believer, because Jesus Christ, his spirit dwells in us. I believe that's the picture that we have. And Solomon's purpose in this is to highlight a common mistreatment of wisdom, or in the believer's case, how we mistreat Jesus Christ, our wisdom, the man of wisdom, who desires to impart his wisdom to us, and the common mistreatment of him. Because after the moment of crisis has passed, after the city is delivered and that time is ended, they're not under that pressure anymore, all of a sudden, there's no appreciation for this man. And so we see this mistreatment really in two ways, just by way of introduction. The first is we see it in the lack of praise that this wise man received, that no one praised him for this. His name was simply forgotten and overlooked in all of that. We also see it in the lack of promotion for this wise man. He was forgotten. And you would think that this wise man would have then been taken and made some sort of advisor. Because we get the sense from this passage that it wasn't like, you know, they say a broken clock is right twice a day, right? Even a broken clock. Or, a blind squirrel will find a nut every once in a while. We don't get it. We don't get the sense that this is what happened to this man. That he, like, randomly had this great idea. The only great idea he had in his life. Turns out it's the one the city needed. No, we get the picture that he was a wise man in who he was. And the idea is that this wasn't his only wisdom. He had much more wisdom from which the city could have benefited, and yet they didn't. They overlooked him when there should have been this promotion, where this man is taken and put in some position where his wisdom could have been appreciated and utilized, and the city would have benefited because of that. But instead, the poor man himself and his wisdom were despised and ignored, and he was disrespected. And many times, Christians can treat Jesus Christ as nothing more than just like a 911 operator, right? You only call 911 when you have an emergency, when there is some crisis. You don't call it the rest of the time. And sometimes that's our approach. That's how we treat Jesus Christ, where he's just the one that we call on in times of desperate need, right? In an emergency where we can't handle it. Then we call on Jesus. Then we pray. And then we listen to him. But the rest of the time, we're fine with our own self-sufficiency. We're fine with what we are able to do. Now, we know Jesus Christ is definitely there for us in those times. Psalm 46 says that God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. We don't have a God that deserts us in time of trouble. But we don't have a God that's only there in times of trouble. He's there every single day and every single moment for us. And yet many times we only appreciate him in those difficult times, in the times when we are under attack, when our life is besieged. And so how do we treat him when that emergency fades and when that urgency dissipates? Is there still praise? Is there still promotion of Jesus Christ in our life? And so Solomon is talking about the proper treatment of wisdom. And for us, the proper treatment of Jesus Christ every single day of our life, not just in emergency, but after that, every single time. And we can really boil it down to one word, and it's this: listening. Listening to Jesus Christ. That's what Solomon is trying to get across to us. And I want to go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. We looked at Proverbs the last time in our series, and we were in the end of chapter 1. But I want to read in chapter 2, and it's a longer passage. We're going to read verse 1 down through the beginning of verse 12. But I want us to see how this scripture talks about listening. And listening, not just hearing, but listening so that we are able to receive and also apply, put into practice the wisdom that we receive as we listen. So Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things." That's what we're talking about. That is listening. And it's more than just the act of the sound entering into our ears. But it's more than that. It's hearing it and then accepting it and then acting upon it and living by that, walking the path that wisdom has told us to walk. That's how we listen to Jesus Christ. And the only right way to treat Jesus Christ as the man of wisdom is to listen every single time he speaks. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, Solomon relates this story about this city. And then in verses 16 down through 18, we see three ways that Solomon has determined we need to listen to wisdom. As believers, three ways we need to listen to Jesus Christ. The first way is this: we need to listen in continual need. We need to listen in continual need. So in verse 16, at the very beginning, it says, "Then said I, wisdom is better than strength." Look at the beginning of verse 18. Similarly, he says, "Wisdom is better than weapons of war." It's better than strength. It's better than weapons of war. We recognize a fairy tale really two ways, right? One, by how it begins, because they all start the same way: once upon a time, right? And we recognize that. Oh, that's, you know, that's some sort of fairy tale. We also recognize it by the ending, right? They always end and they lived happily ever after, right? Because, I mean, boy, what a great ending, right? We just stick that on the end and smooths everything out after that. Don't even think about anything that could complicate this story, right? They all just lived happily ever after. We don't see this in verse 14 and 15, right? We don't get a "they lived happily ever after." Instead, we kind of get the sense that they're going to live blissfully unaware ever after, or they're going to live ignorantly ever after. And we get the sense that they're going to get attacked again, right? Because they are not listening. They got delivered once, and then they said, "That's all we need," right? "That's the only deliverance we'll ever need. We don't need to listen to this man anymore. We don't need to find out where this wisdom came from and promote this man. We don't need to anymore, because the one need that we had at the time, that emergency, it's over. We don't need to listen to wisdom anymore." As a Christian, we need to listen in continual need, because a mature Christian understands that even though Satan has been defeated, we're still under attack. We know the end of the war, right? We know how everything ends, that if we are in Christ, we have ultimate victory in Christ. But we also understand that the Bible points out that we are under attack every single day by that same one that's already been defeated. We're familiar with 1 Peter 5:8 that it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And Peter starts it with, hey, listen, you better be sober, you better be vigilant, you better be on guard and watching, because this is going to happen. You are going to be attacked. You are going to be fought. And so where does that vigilance then lead us? It doesn't lead us to independence. It doesn't lead us to self-sufficiency. It leads us to Jesus Christ. And it leads us to listening to what Jesus Christ wants us to know, to listening to his wisdom. That's where that vigilance is going to direct us. We're going to listen to the one that can keep us safe. I found a company out in Boulder, Colorado, and they offer these 7-day survival adventures, right? And longer. But you can go out there and you can pay them, it's like almost $2,000. But you can go out there and for 7 days, you're out in the wilderness. And they had a little description on their website. They said, leaving the hyper-technological modern world behind, you will travel the desert canyons and mountain meadows with little more than a knife, a water bottle, a blanket, and a poncho. The physical, mental, and emotional challenges are real. And I know I've told you this before. The idea of camping sounds great to me. I love the idea of camping. It sounds like it'd be so great. I despise the reality of it. I do not like it. I think about it. I read this, that'd be cool. You know, out in the wilderness for like 7 days, and I got a knife and a water bottle and a blanket and a poncho. I mean, we can look at that and go, you know, that sounds, I could do that. Did you know the black bear population's on the rise out there? There's also the rare possibility that you'll meet a grizzly bear. And there's different ways, right? You defend yourself different ways if it's a black bear or a grizzly bear. You know, black bears can also be brown. So, I mean, you got to kind of figure out which one it is. There's mountain goats out there, and they've got those, like, spiked horns that look very sharp from the pictures I saw online. You know, they're not super aggressive, but they can be very defensive. There's like the mountain sheep out there and all those things. There's a lot of rattlesnakes in that area. But hey, you get to bring a knife. So you and your Swiss Army knife. I'm sure you'll be fine out there. You can go into that very like, yeah, I'll be fine. You know, I know how to take care of myself. But listen, you've got a guide out there for a reason. There's a reason you're paying $2,000 for someone with a lot more experience, someone who's walked these trails, someone who's dealt with all of these things to be there. And if you're smart, you're going to listen. You're going to listen to what they tell you to do. You're going to listen to the one who knows what they're talking about. As Christians, we face danger all the time. And if we're smart, we're going to listen to the one because we understand that we are in continual need. Every single day of our life, we're being attacked. And so we need to continually listen because we understand that. And we also need to listen because as a Christian, we understand our weakness. We've really come to sense that, right? In salvation, we've seen that. We've seen that we're a sinner and that we cannot save ourselves. And in that weakness, we turn to Jesus Christ, who in simple faith, we trust in him because he can save us. He can deliver us. The gospel is all about our weakness and Christ's strength. And once we get saved and we understand that weakness, that same sense of our weakness should continue all the way through our life. Every single day, every single moment, we view ourselves in weakness. We view ourselves in dependence, that we are trusting God for all of those things. And we have to listen because of that. In Psalm 23 and verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And it doesn't stop there. It keeps going. Why? Why will we fear no evil? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The whole idea of that psalm is that we're a sheep. We're this little defenseless, fluffy animal. But we have a shepherd. That was David's point. It's not that you have strengthened yourself enough to be able to walk calmly through the valley of the shadow of death on your own. It's that you've realized how weak you are, and you say, I'm sticking with the shepherd. I'm going to listen when he directs me. I'm going to listen when he calls. I'm going to listen to him because I know as a sheep, I can't walk through that valley of the shadow of death. But if I just listen to him, his rod and his staff, boy, that's comfort for us. We listen in continual need to Jesus Christ. The best preparation we can make for the future is to listen to Jesus Christ today. That's the best preparation we can make for tomorrow, is if we just listen. Listen, not just hear, but listen and take it in. Make it part of who we are. Make it part of our life to listen right now, today, because that's going to prepare us. We look at this city in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and we say, you know what? I think if they're smart, you know, they'd raise an army. You know, they'd fortify themselves, they'd maybe make some alliances and have other cities around them. And then Solomon goes, you know what, though, wisdom's better than strength, and wisdom's going to be better for them than weapons of war. If they just listen to this wise man in their midst, they'd be better off. And we can look at ourselves and say, you know what, I can make all these changes, and I can strengthen myself in different ways, but would be better off listening to Jesus Christ. Because the answer isn't for us to have more of what failed us. It's to have more of Jesus Christ, more of what delivered us. That's where the answer lies. These people went, hey, we just need more of those things that we couldn't depend on last time. The last thing that couldn't save us, we'll take more of that. And don't we do that? Though, like, we get in a crisis, and in that time, we see how all that we are has failed. And then, so we turn to Jesus Christ, and we come out of that and go, I'll take more of what failed me. I'll just take more of that. Instead of saying, why don't I learn from this? That I need more of Christ. And instead of coming out of this saying, I am strong, come out of it saying, I am weak, and I continually need to listen to the man of wisdom. Continually listen to Jesus Christ. So we listen in continual need because we understand that this life is dangerous and we understand that we are weak. But there's a second way that we find in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Second way we need to listen to wisdom, and that's that we need to listen in continual humility. In continual humility. Look in verse 16, the second part. He says, wisdom's better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Evidently, there was a lot more that they could have learned from this man, but they chose not to. And the Bible calls a person who refuses to listen to wisdom, the Bible calls them a fool. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 12, 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. We need to be humble enough to learn, right? We need to be humble enough to understand that we need to learn. And you've heard the saying, the more you learn, the less you know, right? And it seems to be that way. The older you get, the more I learn, the less I know. And there's a corollary that goes with that. It's the less you've learned, the more you think you know. You know, the less you know about things, the more you're confident about that. And confident in everything, right? Proverbs 11 and verse 2, though, says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. With the humble, with the lowly is wisdom. Why do you think they didn't listen to this man? Why wouldn't they listen to this wise man? And over, it's emphasized to us his poverty, isn't it? It's pointed out that he is a poor wise man. And that played into a big reason in as to why they would not listen. They couldn't get past that factor. They couldn't get past the fact that he was poor. And honestly, wouldn't poverty make you question his wisdom? You, if you're so smart, why are you so poor, right? Why couldn't you, like, some way use this wisdom to get yourself, like, more money or a better station in life, right? You would look at him and go, if you are this genius, why are you poor? You know, it's like, why, if you're a fireman, why did your house burn down? You know, or if you're a dentist, why do you have cavities? You know, we look and go, I feel like there should be something else here. And they looked at this man and went, you know, he's just poor, and we don't know why. Maybe his poverty was a choice. Maybe he chose to give it all away. Maybe he chose to live that sort of life where he gave everything he had away, and in his wisdom, he chose to just live in that poverty. A wise man can be poor, and a poor man can be wise. Do you know our teacher, Jesus Christ? He lived in poverty when he was on earth. Don't we see that in the Gospels, that he didn't have anywhere to lay his head? And he lived in poverty while he was on this earth. And he, for our sakes, became poor that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. He chose, in his wisdom, to live a life of poverty. And the people on earth in his day, they had a hard time looking past a lot of the outward things to see Jesus Christ as the Messiah. We read through the Gospels. We've been through the book of John. We've seen how they viewed Jesus Christ. And they would look at him and say, he's just a Galilean. Or, you know, we know his parents, Joseph and Mary. He's just a carpenter's son. And they would look at him and say, he eats with publicans and sinners. And they would look at Jesus Christ on the outward appearance. And they, it's like they couldn't get past that to then learn from Jesus Christ and to get through to what Jesus Christ was trying to say to them. They couldn't get past that one thing or those couple of things about who Jesus Christ was. And it seems like that was true in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. They couldn't get past the fact that he was poor. And they didn't listen to people like that. They wouldn't learn from people like that. And you know, God uses many teachers in our life. Many teachers. Even in Proverbs chapter 6, it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Right? Even that tiniest of creatures, and they're coming out now, right? It's springtime and they're out. And the Bible says you can look at that and you can learn biblical wisdom from that if you'll just be humble enough to learn from that. And all through our life, God will use imperfect people to teach us perfect truth, to teach us the Bible and to communicate the words of God to us. All through our life, we're going to run into imperfect people that if we're humble enough, we can learn from them about what God wants. So don't use the messenger as an excuse to refuse a message that you don't want to hear. And it's very easy for us to do that. I can think of times in my life when I've done that. I've said, they don't have any right. Who are they to tell me that? Or who are they to try and help me with that? And that can be our first defense that we throw up when we don't want to hear what they are telling us, is to point at that person and say, well, who are they? Right? And how come they have the right, think they have the right to talk to me about that? And instead of listening in humility, our pride goes, no, there's no way we can listen to that. Right? It's like you're at work and you've been doing your same job 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, whatever, right? The new guy walks into work. You know, he's been there like a week, right? And he comes over and he's got a suggestion for how you should do your job. And he comes over and is like, hey, maybe I've found a more efficient way to do this, or a better way, or a safer way, or whatever. What's your first reaction going to be? It's going to be like, you're a new guy, right? Like, I've been here. They could be right. They could have found a better way. You don't know that. But our pride's first reaction is, I'm not going to let them, because of who they are, teach me anything because of who I am. When as a Christian, when it comes to learning the Bible, we need to just be able to learn in continual humility and say, I'm willing to be humble enough to learn from anybody, no matter who they are. If they're teaching truth, then I'm going to be willing to learn. Now, there needs to be discernment, right? There needs to be discernment about who we listen to. We don't listen to people that are teaching error, right? We run it by the Word of God, and we make sure that they're teaching the Word of God. But after that, we can learn from anyone, right? You'd pick a diamond out of a mud puddle, wouldn't you? If you walked by and you saw a diamond down the mud, you'd be like, don't care, I'll grab it. That's my diamond. I'll take it out of the mud, right? And there's diamonds of truth that God is trying to get across to us, that he's trying to teach. And he uses people that are here. He uses people other places. He uses even circumstances in our life. But many times, because we're not trying to learn in continual humility, because we're not humble, we let our pride block that. And we say, I will not listen because of this and because of that, when we should always be willing to learn. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. It doesn't say anything about the teacher in that passage. It says they just despise wisdom and instruction. Have you ever wondered if God sometimes sends like the most disagreeable and annoying people just to see if you're humble enough to listen? Just to see if you're humble enough to learn that bit of wisdom from them. Are we going to listen and learn in continual humility? If someone is speaking biblical truth, we can always learn from them, no matter who. And there's two reasons. One, because it's the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God, we can always learn from that. And number two, because we have the ultimate teacher within us. We have the Holy Spirit, who is there to guide us into all truth. And the Holy Spirit can pick out what we need to learn, even as poorly as it may be communicated. Now, there is a lesson in here for us as messengers, right? Because we are to go and share the gospel. We're to encourage other people. This is an excuse for us to say, who cares how I do it, as long as I get it across, right? No, I mean, we need to try our best as we have the privilege and the responsibility to communicate truth, to do it in the best way we possibly can, and bathe it in prayer and go in the power of the Holy Spirit and preach it in the truth in love. But how do we receive that? We're going to miss a lot if we're so filled with pride that we won't listen to people. We need to listen in continual humility. But then there's one final way in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. One final way we need to listen to wisdom. In verse 17, he says, "The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools." The words of wisdom are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Most people don't like the sound of their own voice, right? If you haven't really gotten used to it, and you know, you cringe every time you hear yourself on a video, right? You have to, they play back and you go, "Oh, why do I sound like that? You know, I need to go apologize to people that I've talked to." It's because of how my voice is, right? Or yeah, you record your voicemail greeting and then you play back and you go, "That's horrible." I need to pay someone else to record their voice on there for me. I'll just leave the one that's that, you know, that automated voice that recites my number or whatever. We don't like to hear the sound of our voice, but for not liking how much our voice sounds, we sure do like to talk a lot, don't we? We do like to just to talk and to speak. But we don't learn when we speak. We learn when we're silent. That's when we learn, when we're really listening. And we need to listen in continual silence. We need to learn to listen in continual silence. So in verse 17, there's two voices here, right? There's the words of the wise men, but there's also the cry of him that ruleth among fools. One's shouting to be heard and one's whispering. The second one there, it's the one that ruleth, the cry of him that ruleth among fools. That's literally the chief fool, right? The one who's been like, all the fools got together and like, "You're the most foolish, so we put you in charge." That's the idea. And that ruleth among fools. The fool with the crown on his head. That's the one. And he's crying out and he's shouting because nobody's listening, right? He's trying to cry out and get his message heard, right? And the world is full of people like this. The world is full of people that are just shouting their foolish message and just crying out and trying to get someone to listen to them. They're clamoring for attention. But you know, many times the loudest fool that we hear is our own voice, isn't it? It's us trying to say something and trying to just tell ourselves something. And we think we're smart and we think we're wise in who we are. And we're trying to get that out and get it across to ourselves. And many times we are the end of verse 17. The cry of him that ruleth among fools. Many times that's us if we're honest. But then we have this loud crying. But then there's the words of wise men are heard in quiet. You know, there's a reason why we call our devotions our quiet time, because that's when we hear wisdom, and that's how we listen, is just by being quiet, just in that silent time where we shut off all the other voices and even our own voice, and we say, "I'm going to be quiet before God. I'm going to meditate in silence and let God speak to me through his word." That's not the time for us to start talking. That's the time for us to start listening. And the words of wise men are heard in quiet. And that's how we hear wisdom. That's how we listen, is in continual silence. And even in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon said there's a time to keep silence and there's a time to speak. We need to start listening in silence, having these times where we let God speak to us, not where we try and tell God what we should do or try and inform God, where we say, "Lord, I want to hear your wisdom. So this is time for me to be quiet. This is time for me to listen in silence." So we see three ways to listen in continual need, in continual humility, and in continual silence. There's a story told about a little girl who was, she was sitting on her grandfather's lap, and he was reading her a bedtime story. And from time to time, as he would read, she would take her little hand and she would rub it on the back of his hand, right? And you know, all the wrinkles, all the bumps, and all the veins and all that, right? And she would just, like, she was really interested in that. And then she would look at her hand, she would rub her hand, and then she would go back to listening for a little bit, and then she would, you know, rub his hand a little bit, and then her hand. And finally, after a while, she spoke up and she said, "Grandpa, did God make you?" And the grandpa said, "Yeah, God made you. He made me a long time ago." And so, you know, they went back to reading, and a little while later, she said, "Grandpa," she said, "did God make me?" And Grandpa said, "Yeah, sweetie, God made you. He made you just a little while ago." She thought about that and she said, "God's getting better at it, isn't he?" And he looked at it and said, he's improved. You know, we look at age and we say there's a wisdom that comes with age, right? And we say that as people get older, we expect there to be a certain sort of knowledge and insight that comes with that. But do you know the true wisdom, biblical wisdom? It's not a matter of time, is it? It's a matter of listening. It's a matter not of us just waiting until it happens. It's a matter of us making a choice and saying, "I am going to choose to listen. I'm going to listen in continual need and humility and in silence to what God is trying to teach me." And you know, Solomon has a final thought as we close in verse 18, the end of verse 18. He said, "One sinner destroyeth much good." One sinner destroyeth much good. And you know it, one person by their refusal to listen to wisdom can be very destructive to themselves. And it really reminds me of that passage we looked at last time in Proverbs chapter 1. We won't turn there, but in the end, in verse 32 and 33, it says, "The turning away of the simple," turning away from wisdom, "shall slay them. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Are we listening to the wise man? Are we listening to Jesus Christ? This poor wise man, he delivered the city and they forgot him. They forgot all about him. We've been delivered. Jesus Christ has delivered us. Have we forgotten him? Have we forgotten? Have we just said we don't need to listen anymore? Or are we making that choice to every single day listen to what Jesus Christ is trying to teach us? And if you remember those two evidences of mistreatment, right? It was a lack of praise and a lack of promotion. And boy, we need to see those in our life. And if we're listening, we're going to find those. We're going to find that we are praising him for his wisdom, praising him for how he has taught us. And we're going to be promoting Jesus Christ, saying, "I don't make a decision without him. He is my number one advisor. I listen to Christ above all else." Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We have the privilege to walk with the wisest of all men. We get to walk with Jesus Christ. We get to learn every single day through his word what he wants for us. We have so much wisdom. All the wisdom we need that's been given to us. "He that walketh with wise men and he that listens to wise men shall be wise." Are we listening? We could make a difference between listening and hearing, right? Hearing is, we could say, it's just like the sound, right? Where you just hear the words. Well, we read that passage at the beginning that says that listening is much more than that. It's not just letting the words enter into our ears, but it's listening is then taking those things and applying them and accepting them as how we're going to live our life. That's what it means to really listen. And are we listening? You know, as we read the scriptures, and we should be having our quiet time every single day, but as we do that, are we really listening to that? Sometimes we can go through that and we can spend all the time, as we read all the time, talking and telling about what we want and what we think. Are we listening just simply listening in humility to what Christ has for us. Even as we come to church, right? And as we come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, we come in and we hear, but are we listening? Are we listening? Because there's wisdom. And I don't say that because it's me, or Pastor wouldn't say it because it's him. We say it because it's the Word of God, and because you have the Holy Spirit in you. And I take great confidence in that, knowing that I can get up here and preach because I'm not relying upon myself. I'm relying upon the Word of God and the Holy Spirit within you. But are you listening? Are you listening to what Christ has for you? Because we have the opportunity to be wise like Christ, to have His wisdom, to be like Christ. But it only comes as we listen. As we listen to Him. I have one more question, though, I want to ask. We talked a lot about Jesus Christ, and I want to end with this question. Do you know Jesus Christ? That's where it starts. The wisest decision you can make right now is to trust in Jesus Christ if you have not. We've talked about that continual need. And if you're here without Christ, you have a continual need. You need salvation. You need your sins to be washed away and to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that comes by knowing Christ. And it's all laid out for us in the Bible that Christ died on the cross for our sins. He paid for our sins so that we don't have to. He died on the cross, He was buried, and He rose again to live, to save us. And if you simply trust in Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Many times we express that faith in a simple prayer, admitting our sinfulness and then calling upon Jesus Christ to save us. And we understand it's not the specific formula of words. It's the heart. It's the heart that in simple faith calls upon the Lord. If you want wisdom, there's wisdom to be had. This morning, are we listening? Let's close with prayer.